I call the regular city council meeting of the city of Palmer, August 27th, 2017 to order. Madam Clerk, would you take the roll?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Present.
Councilmember Brad Hansen. Councilmember David Fuller is absent right now, but will be joining us telephonically later in the evening. Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Here.
Councilmember Richard Best.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Linda Combs.
Here.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Here.
Madam Mayor, we have a quorum.
Okay. And if you'll stand, and Sandra, would you do the honors and lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, Madam Clerk, when it comes to voting, can we do it by voice until Dave signs on, or do we need to do it by roll call?
We can do it by voice until Dave signs on.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda, including the consent agenda and the approval of the minutes of August 8, 2017. What is the wishes of the council?
Madam Mayor, I move for approval of the consent agenda and approval of the minutes of the previous meetings.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Deputy Mayor Combs and seconded by Councilman Richard Best that the agenda, including the consent agenda and the approval of the previous meeting minutes of August 8th, be adopted. The consent agenda consists of resolution number 17-026, confirming the appointment of election officials for the City of Palmer regular election on Tuesday, October 3rd, 2017. Action Memorandum Number 17-058, authorizing the city manager to negotiate and enter into a contract with Bering Marine Corporation for the purchase and delivery of 120 tons of road salt in the amount of $18,966. All those in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those opposed, say no. Okay, the motion's passed. The next item on our agenda is communication and appearances, and we have a proclamation to in recognizing Sandra's retirement. So if she would come forth, or I can come there to you, whichever's the easiest, and I'll read this proclamation. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Electronics are not our friend tonight for whatever reason, right? So I guess we just resend this and then.
Yeah, you're
going to
have to stay for the whole month.
That's right. Can we get the microphone going?
Speak very loudly. I think it will still work.
Is it not going to work? I can probably speak. Can, yeah, Steve has this. Okay. Already, we're going to go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. A proclamation honoring Sandra Garley in retirement, whereas Sandra faithfully and professionally served as the City of Palmer Director of Community Development for more than 9 years and served over 38 years in municipal government in Alaska and New Mexico. And whereas displaying her leadership, management, and planning expertise, Sandra was the driver behind the Board of Economic Development, the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Advisory Board, and the Planning and Zoning Commission, which have positioned the city for a stable and prosperous future. And whereas this was reportedly demonstrated by her genuine care for Palmer's citizens and employees and always helping to make City of Palmer, America, Alaska at its best. America at its best. That sounds better, huh?
Whereas during Sandra's years of service, she represented the city well in serving the mayor, the council, city manager, and the many city employees while displaying remarkable patience and professionalism performing these duties. And whereas the city of Palmer recognizes the invaluable resource it has enjoyed in the longevity of Sandra's gracious service and desires to acknowledge the unanimous appreciation of the city council, the administration, and her co-workers. And now, therefore, it is proclaimed by the mayor and the city council of the city of Palmer do hereby express our gratitude and appreciation for all the work Sandra has done while serving as the city as director of community development for the city of Palmer. And although she will no longer be a city employee, we are certain she will continue to serve our community with enthusiasm well into the future as she has always done. And I set my hand and cause the seal of the city of Palmer to be affixed on this 22nd day of August
2017. I would like to say thank you to those of you who are the leaders of the city of Palmer. The fact that you have a vision of what this community should look like and that that vision really is a continuation of the vision of the former leaders who are on the wall in addition to the former city councils. That is why Palmer is Palmer, because you think about what's best for this community and you are the heart of the community. So it's been a pleasure to work for you and an honor to work for the city of Palmer. Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll go ahead and take about a 5 or 10 minute break so the council can greet her personally.
Reports, city manager. Good night and thank you again.
I don't remember excusing Sandra tonight.
I don't remember either.
She's taking liberties now. She's short timer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's nothing on the agenda for community development tonight. I guess I should get the right page. So last session was the project update. Tonight is the staff data analysis. We look at the different departments on some of the things that they're doing. So first up always is the police department. Total calls were down in June, slightly, not because of anything that we're doing differently. It's just sometimes months are light, some months are heavy. But when you look at the traffic related versus the checks and citizens assistance, and a lot of requests for extra patrols, different places. So it's up a little bit from June. I suspect when we get through the fair time, the traffic will again be the top, one of the top elements. Suspicious circumstance, when you look at the individual items that come up, a lot of calls in June for homeless camps, that we check those out, so those numbers are up in June, a little bit higher than normal. But otherwise, the welfare portion where we provide checks to others, that rate remains the same. So again, we continue to take care of our citizens. Fire department, again, it's been a slow, I don't want to call it a slow season, because a slow season fire department's good. But again, it hasn't been a fire. We haven't really had a fire season this year, which is a good thing. Still have plenty of rescue calls, but the number of calls overall down slightly from in July. Looking at the library, steady growth continues, not as rapidly in July as it was in previous months, but still the numbers of people that visit our library or registered patrons continues to grow. When we look at the visitor count, overall July was down slightly. Nothing significant there. Again, probably due to the summer months. One interesting note, when we look at our programs, the young adult programs were significantly higher in July than they were in June. And our overall participants was up again, almost double. Well, not quite double, but pretty close to double for total library patrons that attended our programs. And then community events. The number of events were down, but the total number of participants was higher, so the libraries continue to be fully utilized. Looking at the building and compliance, the letters are slightly down in June. Our compliance officer is on vacation, so that when she's out, they don't typically do a lot. When I flip over to the next page, we look at the building department report. I look at the number of permits that we have for July, and I compare the dollar amount. What I found is that as we've been tracking through the last few months, July was 8th highest in the last, or 8th lowest, because I look at towards the bottom in the last 10 years in a dollar value. And then July last month was 9th in the total number of building permits. So building has slowed some. Shouldn't be a surprise at this point. We've seen that progress go down. The economy around us continues to, I think, for Palmer, hold steady. But that's just another indicator that there's not a lot of growth going on. Looking at the golf course, July was up from June. Still a cold. When I talked to George about the golf course and the number of folks that are going out there, July was much better than June. However, compared to last year, the number of rounds was up, but the dollar amount was down slightly from last year, even though it was pretty much up in the snack bar from last month. It's been a cold winter or cold summer, and he thinks that's been primarily what's kept folks from going out. We've had rain off and on, but we've always had rain in July, but his assessment of this was just a much cooler summer, and folks just didn't get out because the sun wasn't there, so we'll see how we finish up the year. Again, we've made up some ground, but not enough, I don't think, to make up for the weak May we had. Other news, you may have already seen about the Mat-Su Borough postponing the plastic bag tax until December after the elections. That was intentional by the table. They stated they wanted to see what the cities were going to do about the controlling plastic bags. I stated when I was up for my presentation from the cities that we weren't doing anything. We were watching the borough. Wasilla asked them to postpone it because they were going to take some sort of action. They've pretty much just punted this one down the road. I expect the cities to do something, but I don't know that we're in a position. It's up to the council if you want to give me direction on what way to go with this, but I didn't give the impression that we were actually actively working this one, so I'm not sure what the borough expects. Their attorney did say that when asked why the borough doesn't just ban bags, he stated that the borough didn't have that authority as a second-class borough. The only means they have to regulate would be through an excise tax, so that was his position on it. I think they're going to ask them to explore that even more because they do have air pollution and water pollution authority, so I think that might still be worked. But it's postponed until December, so we'll see what they say. The staff is beginning to work on the 2018 budget. Got about 7 weeks to go before we get the book in your hands. I think it's plenty of time to get it wrapped up. So you'll see us, and if you have questions or you want to have some input, by all means, let me know. Based on the discussions we've had the last two sessions with where we were in mid-year and then the capital discussion we had, I think we'll have a pretty good product for you come October. And then finally, the State Fair Parade is scheduled for Saturday. Depends on which weather report you look at. It may be sunny or it may be rainy, but it's still scheduled to go, and the route will be the same as our last two parades. So the request we had from Mr. Copperwood, we will still... That worked out very well for parade goers and for public works setting it up. And then we won't be going on Arctic again. We'll start on Cottonwood, I believe, and then come down Blueberry. So we don't block the old Glen, which has been pretty good for the last three parades. So we'll continue that process. That's all I've got for tonight, unless there's any questions.
I just want to note, and I know you know about it, but the city of Wasilla is having this Thursday at 6 p.m. their public meeting on banning plastic bags. And so for me, I guess I'd sort of like to see what the city of Wasilla would do, because it will make a difference. I mean, if we take a strict stand, then for our businesses versus city of Wasilla or something. And so that's where I would like to be. Deputy Mayor Combs?
Just a quick statement to that effect. That's what a few of the downtown merchants have expressed to me. And then just folks out on the street or in the grocery stores, whatever, is there wondering if we're just going to wait and watch and see what Wasilla's doing. And some of the talk has been about the different balance issues,
sure.
You know,
right.
To say the least, particularly the one that you brought up, Nate, in the first place, with what was originally proposed, you know, and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So, for the most part, I'd have to say I'd have to weigh it in with a lot of folks looking towards a ban, actually, locally, but they're curious about, you know, well, are you going to just watch and see what Wasilla does? And when I said I thought that was prudent, they agreed. So, so I think we should keep an eye on what Bert thinks he's going to do over in Wasilla.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments from anything on this manager's report? Questions or anything? Brent?
I agree. I think we should keep an eye on what Wasilla is doing, but I also think we should have a discussion ourselves, specifically in regard to the proposed borough ordinance, and if we support it or if we don't. Because Wasilla is going to do what Wasilla does, but I think we should really keep an eye on what's going on, what's going to affect Palmer. And also, I had a conversation today with Molly up at the recycling center, and she informed me that, which relates to our manager's criticisms of the ordinance, that she was completely fine with that money not being earmarked for recycling in the borough. And so I think if we do weigh in on the borough ordinance, I think it would be smart for us to weigh in on the borough ordinance to make sure that our voice is heard. That'll allow us to affect the regulation as it plays out in Palmer. So I guess what I'm trying to say, in a very long-winded way, is I support waiting for a couple of weeks as the deputy mayor and the mayor, but I do think at some point in the near future we should weigh in ourselves.
Any other comments? Any other questions of the city manager's report on any item? Or anything that he didn't cover on his manager's report that you have a question about? Okay. All righty. Thank you. Now for the city clerk's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So at the last meeting, there were two questions that came up regarding elections. One of them in specifically pertaining to the fact that the borough will not be having a ballot at the Palmer precincts. So I had followed up with those questions and wanted to include this in the written report and also speak to it, that one of the questions was, what will the borough do for absentee voting if someone, for example, from Talkeetna is down here and wants to vote? And every year they do provide an absentee voting area. They split the gym in half, the assembly chambers in half. The Palmer Precinct 70 is in one half, and the absentee voting is in the other half. And all ballots that the borough has are in that absentee. So I had forgotten about that because it's not on my radar during the election. I don't help support that at all. So they confirmed that they still plan on doing that again this year. So the citizens for the borough will be able to be serviced with ballots. Mm-hmm. And will the DOE be open, the Department of Elections in Wasilla, be open on September 2nd, September 3rd, that's the Saturday and Sunday, during our voter registration weekend? I emailed DOE and they said no, they aren't open for our elections. They do that only for the state.
Okay.
That if people want to change their registrations by our deadline, they need to go online and do that on Saturday or Sunday. But they are more than welcome to it. Go to DOE during their regular business hours, and they do help people,
okay,
you know, change them. They just aren't opening specially for us on that weekend.
Okay, and before you go on to anything,
yep,
how much advertising is the borough going to do in letting people know that there's nothing for them to vote on? You know, like I'm thinking of, say, mm-hmm, the people in the Springer system, you know, that are coming into town. Normally they'd come to the depot, and I would assume the depot's probably not rented. And so they would go there, and then somebody would say, well, you can go to the borough gym or something like that, or at the seniors. I guess they come to the borough assembly chambers, and we could just send them over to the absentee place. But if they go to the seniors, so I just want to be sure that our election officials have some kind of very good customer service wording,
yes,
to say to the people, because I think
I would assume people are going to be frustrated and not fully understanding that, quote, there is nothing for them to vote on. And so there's nothing you can do outside of just be sure that our election officials are trained and they fully understand it so they can explain it to people that come to them, as well as calm people down that may be a little bit upset regarding that. So,
absolutely. I think that's a very good point, and we did talk about that, and we have been talking about that a lot, the impact for Houston and Palmer, because Wasilla will still have a joint precinct open. But Palmer and Houston are affected this year by it. And we had talked about their advertisement and how the wording of it kind of making sure and being very careful in that wording that it doesn't imply that the Palmer precinct and the Houston precincts will be closed. So we worked together, and I feel like we worked well together at our Clerks Coalition meeting for that advertisement so that people know they still can vote in Palmer. That is and has been out in the Frontiersman already. I've seen it a couple of times, and my understanding is that it will be in the paper. I can't remember which day, if it's Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday, but it will be in the paper through election time.
Okay.
They're paying for extra advertisements to get it out there. I've seen the press release by the PIO, the borough PIO. It's on the Facebook page, our Matsu Valley election Facebook page. Like I said, the Frontiersman, it's on their website. People are already starting to talk about it, and we're communicating through that. I will make sure that during our training, because we will be having a special training just for the Palmer election officials, that we address this specifically, that when people do come in, how can we help guide them and lead them to the right place and help assure them that it wasn't, that this is just how this might happen every few years.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And maybe even a
being
copy
familiar
of the advertisement
the
or something. So, you know, so anyway.
Yeah, have the copy of the
you.
Notice posted on the on our bulletin board area that we have in each precinct. I like that.
Good. Great. Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? And then she can proceed on. Yeah, Deputy Mayor Combs.
I think that it would behoove each one of us to understand, you know, and carry with you if you have to what's going on, because people are going to ask you. They're going to see you in the community. I've been asked. I got asked today by a couple people. So they're going to see you out and about, just doing your regular, you know, bike rides, walks, grocery shopping or whatever, and be informed and help them out. A lot of folks are a little mystified about how it's going to work this go round.
Okay. Any other questions? Go ahead then and proceed, ma'am.
I definitely want to say I apologize that I don't have the notice in the packet. That is an excellent place to put it. I'll make sure it's in the packet so it also gets in there, and then email it out to you. Kind of addressing that, what had happened is with the redistricting of the school board, with the districting of the school board positions, and those school board positions now mirror the assembly district positions. So, for example, our Palmer assembly representative mirrors the school board Palmer representative. Those two will run on the same election year and term together. So because we have no area-wide propositions, Palmer doesn't have anyone to vote for, because that position isn't going to be either one of those, the assembly or the school board positions, will not be up for election until 2019. Next year will be the mayor, so we will have an area-wide next year, so it won't be occurring. 2019, Palmer will have the assembly and board positions to vote on. We may not have propositions. We don't know. But then this will be affecting Wasilla at that point, because they'll be in the same situation that we'll be in. They won't have any positions. So that's how it happened, is that vote to district the school board positions in 15 created this potential for nothing. So we're learning as we go this year. This is the first time the borough has ever had something like this. So great feedback. We love it. We need to know, you know, what can we do to help make this election work for everyone. Important dates that I want to make sure that I state. Declaration of write-in candidacy is what started and opened July 31st and ends September 28th. Last day to register to vote, September 3rd. If you don't come into City Hall, go to the Department of Elections in Wasilla or the Mat-Su Borough City Hall. Then feel free, go online. It's on the state's elections.alaska.gov website, and it is the Division of Elections there. Early voting does start September 18th and carries through to October 2nd until 5 p.m. They can vote. Anyone who wants to vote in early voting can vote at the Mat-Su Borough Monday through Friday during business hours, 8 to 5, or at Division of Elections Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, Saturday, 10 to 3, except for Monday, October 3rd. That is only from 9 to 5. Last day to request an absentee ballot is September 26th. This is very important because we have to make sure that anybody who wants an absentee ballot is able to get their absentee ballot in time, to return it in time. So that deadline of September 26th is very important for people. Canvas board has been set. We'll meet on Friday, October 6th, 2 p.m. here in the council chambers. And then we will have our certification of election on October 9th at 6 p.m. if all and everything goes well, which I'm sure it will. Included in the packet here is your AML conference. It's time to start thinking about that. So if anyone wants to attend, please let me know. Fill out the registration form here on page 29 of your packet. Return it back to me, and I will get you registered. A couple of other things I wanted to let you know and wanted to note that is not here in the written report is we do have the tickets for the chamber luncheon that will be held next Wednesday, August 30th. If any of the council members want to go to that, I do need to get these handed out, distributed by tomorrow. So you can come pick them up tonight if you want. And last but not least, we have the advertisement out for boards and commissions. So anyone who is interested in serving our community on one of our boards and commissions can apply for the position. It is open and it closes September 25th. So appointments will be occurring in October, November. The seats available, we have seats available on all of the boards and commissions. Anyone who currently serves that wants to be reappointed will have to reapply for their seat. So anyone can apply to fill any seat. It's not a given that anyone will be automatically reappointed. Does that answer what you were looking for? Currently, planning and zoning, I don't have all the numbers off the top of my head. Currently, planning and zoning has 3 positions. I believe that the remainder have 3 as well. Maybe 2. Some of them might have 2. But there are multiple seats open on all of the positions. And you can go right to the homepage and get the application, the city's website.
And I have, on my desk, I have a copy of the information that she gives out that lists all the boards and commissions and the time when they respond. So if you'd like to glance at that before you leave tonight.
It's on the website too.
Yes. Yeah.
When their expirations are coming.
And I think there are, I think there are 11, going to be 11 appointments.
And it also states if there are any other requirements. Like some of them, we do have residency requirements this year that we'll need to make sure we fill. So it states all of that as well. And I will get that in a future packet for you. The advertisement will be in the paper 3 times, August 27th, September 8th, and September 17th. It's already been put out on our Facebook page, and it's been on our website. And we will be sending out personal emails and notice to those who have shown interest in the past and for current sitting members who have positions expiring. So we're making lots of points of contact this year. Phew, that's everything for my report, if anyone has questions.
And I think, Madam Clerk, if you don't mind, I'll bring up now, when you look at the schedule for AML, the Tuesday night that AML is held this year is our regularly scheduled council meeting.
and so wanted to get a feeling from the council. We have a special meeting the week before because we're dealing with budget, and the week after on the 21st of November we have a special meeting, and then of course we have the regular meeting and special meeting on the 28th. But I wanted to see what the council, how many people are sort of thinking about going to AML. Would you be going in that on Tuesday? My meeting is on Tuesday for the mayor's, but generally, you know, it's over probably 5-6 o'clock or so. So, you know, I could come back home, and I haven't decided how many more days I'm going to go. I'm going to wait and see, you know, if we have a good representation from some of the council that, you know, want to go and that kind of thing. So, has anybody made up their mind if? Because the regular schedule stuff will start on Wednesday morning. So go ahead, Councilman Carrington.
So is there an actual meeting on Tuesday night? Well, the mayors have a meeting, but there isn't.
No,
it's the
I
newly
think,
elected officials, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Wednesday morning is when is the opening session on Wednesday, November 15th. So if we have people that want to attend the newly elected or the mayors or managers, finance directors, city clerks, all of those will be meeting on either Monday and Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday. And so but the opening session isn't until Wednesday morning. So, okay. Yeah. Councilmember Prince.
I won't be attending AML, but I will be out of town that week. So I'm...
So you're going to be absent no matter
I'm going to be absent no matter what. So I'll leave it up to the rest of the council, but just a point of information.
Okay. Will you? Can I ask you if you'll be in a position to call in or you'll be...
I can be. I'll celebrating my parents' 50th anniversary in Hawaii. So
oh, well.
I can call in, sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I did, yeah. And so that's, yeah. So no problem. Well, great. Congratulations to them. Great. So any other comments or thoughts from the council? So maybe if you could just, you know, if you are thinking about going in the night before, you know, just let the clerk know. Otherwise, we'll just, I guess, go ahead and have it. Will Bernadette be here or will she be in the meeting with you in Anchorage?
Bernadette will cover the meeting that evening.
Okay. All right. So, and let's see, will you... When is your meetings? You'll be here? Okay. All right. And Mike, would you know when your meeting is?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
All week. I teach at the newly elected officials.
Right. So that's Monday or Tuesday. Okay. All righty. And I guess the thing, too, we could just, if there's not anything, we can keep a light agenda, you know, and check with you ahead of time and trace you down that night or something. So, okay. So why don't we just leave it like that, that we will have a regular, we will leave the regular meeting for that night.
Okay.
And so unless other people have problem with that, go ahead and let the clerk know. And okay. Any other questions or comments from, or to, yes, Councilman Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
We have in the past, not put our shoulder into these awards of excellence.
Okay.
And I would like to suggest mm-hmm. that, and I think this would be in conjunction with the manager, that we maybe look at some of these awards, and if we believe that there are folks within our employ that would meet the criteria of any of these, that we put a little effort in behind it and do a nice little write-up and start recognizing some of our employees at this level,
okay.
Where we know that in the past we had failed to get our clerk at the time recognition that was due to her, and we didn't put it in a timely manner. And
right.
So I think
good
that
point.
This is a good thing for us to start recognizing our employees of the great jobs that we've been so gracious to have had their expertise in providing us.
Okay, good.
So I look forward to the city manager and maybe the mayor working together to kind of see which ones that they want to put out there and kind of go forward with that.
Mm-hmm. And for my part, as well as I know city manager's part, we appreciate any input that you have. You know, just get in touch with the city manager or the city clerk and they can pass it on to me so we don't have any, you know, public meeting violations. So, okay. Anything else for the clerk's report? Okay. You're welcome. Thank you. So we move on to the mayor's report. You have a number of items that are already listed about things that are going on. Couple things I would like to address and add. The Greater Palmer Chamber of Commerce dinner is going to be on the 7th of October. And so that needs to go on our agenda. There will be a Matsu Mayor's Prayer Breakfast on the 11th of November here at Turkey Red, and it will be over in time to go to the wall because we go to the wall at 11 o'clock on the 11th of November. The Transportation Fair will be at the Menard Center on the 28th of September from 3 to 7, and seems like to me last year the city had some kind of booth. Did we just have that because it was here in Palmer, or what? Do you have any plan?
The airport project.
Yeah, the airport project.
Yes,
okay. So we don't have anything. Okay. All right.
I'll be attending, so we'll work. We won't have a booth.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then under pending items, the deputy mayor had brought up, I think, a couple of times under her comments, the application for All American City. So I'm going to put that on for future. And then the game day with the minors, I know at the last time when we had it, you were talking, Nate, about maybe doing it on a Saturday or something, or had you for next year? Did you need any input on that, or are you just going to make that decision, or? What's your
Madam Mayor, I'm open to any recommendations, but right now, based on comments, we're looking at a weekend game. But
okay.
If there's heartfelt need for anything other than that, then I'm.
Okay. I think you just have to get to them early so they can get a weekend.
Okay. We're ready. Great. I just wanted to be sure that we had brought that up. And then I had a local businessman from the Rotary Club, right? That asked about the park up behind the Safeway on Darren Street. And did you get a chance to go out there and look at that drop off there behind there? Do you have some words?
The Darren Park is the park in question. Rotary has asked if they could provide new and innovative playground equipment. Part of looking at that, and they're pursuing a national grant through their organization. But looking at the park, there is a drop off behind the trees that goes into the Safeway parking lot, and that was it's a and there's a wall partially through it, but the drop off has been seeded and it meets the site plan. So there's no additional work there.
Okay.
There is Public Works and I, director, and I looked at the park. There is a trail, a sidewalk that Safeway put in that stops right at the edge of the property. And that's one of those things we probably need to put some gravel on it to make it to finish that trail into the park and out to the street so that folks have access to that sidewalk, because right now it just stops at the back of the park. But the drop-off, depending on what Rotary, what they want to do, we've considered putting a split rail fence to act as some sort of barrier rather than just a chain link fence that goes around it. So as they get further into their plans and what they want to do as far as updating that park, we'll keep that in mind.
Okay. And if you haven't driven by that park lately, I would encourage you to do that. The park is very similar to the park that we have up on Dolphin Street. You know, the park is supposed to be this big, and the park we mow with the swing apparatus on it is like this. And so lots of stuff going on, I think, in the treed area there. And so one of the questions they had was how much clearing they should be allowed to do. One of the things would be to maybe clear all of the brush up to about 6 feet or something like that. Because when the businessman was out there looking, there were a couple of suspects that he thought, I wouldn't allow my child to come here on play on this equipment. And so I just encourage the council to start thinking about that, going up and driving by. And so we're very thankful for their willingness to do this. And I really want to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we should encourage them to do it. But I think they do want just a little bit of, they don't want to go in there and clear the brush up to, you know, below 6 feet and then have somebody say, oh, we wanted this park wild or something, you know. So anyway, so if you have any additional comments, you know, let Nate know and I'll get back to the business town man and tell him that the council welcomes their participation. Is that a safe assumption by the council? Okay. Councilman Best.
Madam Mayor, I'm very pleased. I think this is very exciting that a local organization is you know, reaching out to the city to help out with some of the parks. I think this is a great opportunity for these private-public partnerships, the children will benefit on this, so this mm-hmm. is awesome. Appreciate mm-hmm. it.
Great. Okay, good.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
This park, a particular park, is the very first one, I believe, that was part of the inclusiveness of the parks ordinance that was written in the
subdivision.
Last mm-hmm. decade or so. But mm-hmm. I go by it fairly often because my brother lives in that neighborhood, and it's used. Mm-hmm. The last two times I went through there, it was obvious they were having a birthday party there. And I remember thinking to myself, I remember going and helping plant trees and shrubs there with, I don't remember if it was a scout group or just the kids from the neighborhood, Mr. Pipple. Were you there that day, Brad? I think so, yeah, Brad and my husband. And I were up there, we were planting trees and stuff, so, you know, to make it a little more attractive. So, but when I saw the last couple birthday parties there, I remember thinking this is what it was meant to be. It's a neighborhood park. So, mm-hmm. And again, I have to agree with Councilman Best. Anytime we can do a partnership with one of the local service organizations, it's a, you know, AAA plus rating. So, mm-hmm. thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no places there to park. I mean, cars, you have to park on the street, you know, and so it is supposed to be for a neighborhood park, so.
My nephews have gone there to play growing up and talk about it and that sort of thing, and that's what it was meant to be. It was meant to be a neighborhood park, and that's mm-hmm. what the ordinance was meant for, et cetera. So it's a great example of what can be done.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. And that is all my reports. Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything? Okay. And do we have a city attorney's report, sir?
Quick one, Madam Mayor. Mm-hmm. I attended the AML summer meeting in Hames last week, and it was a very good meeting. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of information that was shared. Some good speakers. The deputy commissioner for DCRA was there and gave a PowerPoint presentation on budget issues, municipal expenditures, and budget declines, analogizing the state budget issues to a reduction of a homeowner's budget, a family budget. And I thought it was a good presentation. I don't have a copy of that PowerPoint, but I think Kathy Wasserman's going to send it around.
Okay.
And I think it would be good for all the council and the manager to have, because it really shows the impact of the budget declines. So that was very good. And DCRA obviously is suffering from that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there was Larry Pasilli, who's Mayor Navarro's chief of staff and has been focusing on the gas pipeline. And there was a good presentation, and he had a good PowerPoint as well. And I think Kathy's going to ask for that to send around to all the municipalities. And I think that's a good one to have, but that gas pipeline is many, many years away and has a lot of challenges, to say the least. The governor showed up on the last day of the conference and spent with the group, I would say, at least 3 hours.
Okay.
So there was a lot of time with the governor. He spoke about a lot of the issues he's confronting. However, the day before that, and I think the highlight of the meeting, was the mayor's strategy to deal with the budget. And I sat with the mayors from all across the state in their meeting, and they decided that they wanted to unite all the municipal mayors to urge the Senate, the state legislature, but the Senate, everyone knows, is sort of the roadblock on the fiscal plan, to take some action on a fiscal plan, not to tell them what that plan should be, just to do something. So the mayors are have a small group to accomplish that, and I don't know where it will go, but I think that they're going to try to address sort of a grassroots effort to accomplish those budget issues. The governor also spoke about transportation network companies, and that's the Uber Lyft bill, and that sort of takes away the powers of municipal government to regulate. And I mentioned to the group that this was really a retrogression to the Dillon's Rule principle of years ago, probably of mid-century or earlier, that said municipalities can't do anything unless they have a specific statutory authority to do that, which was later abrogated in most states by the rule of liberal construction, where you, particularly for home rule, of which the city of Palmer is, where you can do just about anything that's legal unless it's prohibited by Title 29 in the list of home rule prohibitions. So the governor was very amenable to suggestions for amending that bill. And while it's not impacting, I don't believe, I mean, I don't know, Palmer at this point, it potentially could. And the apparently some communities are getting pushback from Uber or Lyft, I don't know exactly which one, saying we're not paying your sales tax because we don't have to because we're not regulated by you guys. And also, I guess FedEx is coming in and other carriers and saying we're transportation network companies too, and there's no regulation that can govern us because of this statute. So I think there probably is some statutory amendments that might be necessary as the council looks at a legislative package, and the governor said he'd be amenable to those issues. So I think that's something to just pay attention to. I also had the pleasure of meeting council member LaFrance's sister and spoke to her. And I told her that council member LaFrance does great work for the city of Palmer. And so she's
been telling her.
Yeah, that's what he's been telling her. And his sister, as you may or may not know, is on the Anchorage Assembly. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting to meet her along with some other municipal officials. Thank you.
I saw where I think Ketchikan has... Is it? I don't know if it's on the ballot or if they they're considering banning. And so I didn't realize that that was part of the law that was passed. I thought that we didn't have any control over it. I'm not suggesting that we do that, but I noticed it was in the as you've seen the headlines that they are going to vote on that. So. Okay. Any questions of the attorney? Okay. If not, then I will open audience participation. Anyone in the audience can come forth and address the council. 3 minutes if you are a private person or 5 minutes if you are a group. So on any subject, not only subjects that are on the agenda, but any subject. So... anyone that would like to come forth and talk to the city council?
Do we need to draw straws or something? Flip a quarter?
Seeing no one, I will close audience participation. And the next item on our agenda is action memorandum number 17-059. Authorizing the city manager to negotiate and execute a contract with Boar Tide Construction in the amount not to exceed $133,693.33 to perform removal of old electrical heating, installation of new mechanical hydraulic heating equipment, and required flight service station finishing upgrades per City of Palmer lease agreement with the FAA. What is the wishes of the council? Okay. Councilman Hansen moved to approve action memorandum number 17-059, and Deputy Mayor Combs seconded. Discussion by the council. Questions to the staff?
Staff report, please.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this was a two-part project. One was upgrading the boiler replacing the boiler with a gas boiler instead of electric heat that it has, and then the some upgrades that the FAA original lease had for that facility. The abatement portion that we discussed, I believe about a year ago, the FAA is going to take on the abatement portion. However, we still have to do the rest of the upgrades. So the funding piece was in 2015. We put $30,000 into capital for the boiler, and I don't know where that number came from. When I talked to the superintendent, he thought it should have been $80,000, which would probably cover this today. But basically, we have a shortfall based on the bids to complete this work. The my recommendation on making up that shortfall is from the funds that we set aside for the grant matching. It was $200,000. We're only using $93,000. This wouldn't expend all of it, but it would still go towards the airport and leave another $32,000 for any contingencies that come up, although that project is getting towards the end. The pavement's done. The runways are all open, with the exception of painting and fog sealing that needs to be done. So that project is well under on its way without additional contingencies. So the one piece about the $30,000, I started looking at that, those budget, capital budget pieces from 2015. There were a couple in there that will have the same problem. The parking lot was that part of that same funding package, and it's coming under, well, it's going to be shortfall again. So one of the pieces that I've had discussion with the public works director and superintendent is the superintendent has had a list of capital projects, and it's kind of off topic, but capital projects have been, he's requested over the years, and I don't know where the disconnect was, but his numbers are always typically higher and probably more accurate than what we've been putting in our budget. So last year we got the superintendent's input and we saw the fruits of that with our mower. The budget was sufficient plus a little extra. So lesson learned for the future, and we'll continue to do that, is make sure that our superintendent is involved in capital expenditure, not just equipment, but buildings. But back to this one, we definitely didn't, we spent $50,000 on the boiler for the library, and it didn't require any plumbing. The airport has to be plumbed, and we have budgeted for $30,000. So that was a huge mistake on my part when we put that in our 2015-2016 budget. But I think there's, again, I think there's funding available at the airport to cover this, and it's requirement. The requirement is to do this, one, for cost savings for the boiler, but two, the piece with the FAA as part of our past lease and current lease, we have to do these upgrades. So when I mentioned the premium is that the contractor has to meet certain security requirements to go into the flight service station. So because of those security requirements, the hiring piece goes up quite a bit. So that's why we're seeing such a high number.
Further questions or comments? Yes, Councilman Hansen.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. So what were the other repairs that were going to happen besides the abatement and the heating?
Go ahead.
So it was the abatement portion, which we'll no longer be doing, but the flooring has to be replaced. The ceiling has to be, once the abatement's done, the ceiling has to be covered. The basement portion, the tile will have to be, once the abatement is done, then the tile will have to be replaced or some kind of flooring down there. And then the boiler piece, which was the significant difference, is all the plumbing for the steam heat that goes through there.
Is the front door a part of the project?
Not specifically, but it can be. We're working on that front. You talk about the FAA door or
yeah.
I don't know. I don't believe it was. I know our door on our side
take,
needs
take
some
a look
work.
At their door. I have some other questions. So you have $30,000 from what was originally budgeted. You have $53,000 from the other upgrades. And so you want to use the 75 from the part that was for the asphalt program. I mean, I don't have any problems with that, and I know that the work needs to be done over there, and I know that you can save considerable amount of money. You're not going to approach $133,000, but their electric bill has got to be terrible. But my question really is, and my statement here is I hope that we are retaining this as a loan from the general fund to the airport fund for future considerations on behalf of the FAA. You know, when I was reviewing the audited financials, I noticed that we haven't been doing that for a little while, and we need to do that because you know we lend the airport fund hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that needs to be taken into consideration next time we want to purchase the airport fire training facility. And so it's a, mm-hmm. you know, we can buy our way out of that one, non-aeronautical use. And we've talked about this before, and I'm hoping that you guys come back with a budget amendment for past years that basically takes into account the monies that we've sent to the airport fund from the general fund that's not being considered a loan. It's being considered a transfer, and it needs to be considered a loan.
Good point. Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. Matt, I agree. We've had this discussion after the audit on how to do that. The one piece we hadn't looked at was capturing past, so we'll look at how we do that for the years we haven't captured.
Mike, go ahead.
Madam Mayor, thank you. And just for general information, there's a 5-year look back on that money. So if it's not used within 5 years, and I haven't looked at the reg in a while, but the reg says you've got to transfer that money or apply it to airport efforts in a 5-year period. I think there's been, that's all for now.
5 years would be almost $1 million. So we would be able to purchase property with that amount of money. But even with fair market value, that would cover potential purchase of non-aeronautical use. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have a question of Mike. So on that 5 years, is that the purchase must be achieved within that 5 years to be able to reach back, or it just has to be accounted for and then you can kind of drag it along?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
I think it has to be used, and I think that was an issue that we've confronted before where there has been some of those transfer funds that have not been applied. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I say the 5 years. And I don't want to speak authoritatively on exactly what the trigger point is because I haven't looked at the reg in probably a couple of years. But I'll dig it out and take a look at it, and I can report back.
Okay, good. Councilman Hatt.
Well, that's what I was going to suggest is that Mike take a look at that to figure out, because I know this is not a slam dunk. I mean, this is something that they have to approve and they have to, agree to. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if we're close to buying that training facility and not have to pay for that use, I think that, you know, we need, mm-hmm. that's a real consideration.
Right.
Because, you know, I think right now we're having to pay for the use over there, right? I mean, it's non-aeronautical. We're having to pay the airport a fair market value for the piece of property. And, you know, this is a part of
negotiations.
Okay, Mike?
Madam Mayor, as we're speaking of this, my memory has jogged a little further, and I think I wrote a letter for the city manager to send to the FAA contesting their denial of the use of those funds. It's probably in the files somewhere. Under previous administration, not for this city manager. Yeah. No, it was not Nate. It was someone else. But we wrote a letter, and that has all the information, and I'll try to find that as well. And the city should have one somewhere in the city manager's office, I presume.
Okay. Further questions or comments? Regarding action memorandum 17-059, the motion on the floor is to adopt. Do we have Councilman Fuller online?
Yeah.
I can call him. He is standing by and ready to go. Or do we want to close out this action memorandum and then get him on the line?
Yeah.
Since he wasn't present during all of the discussion and everything.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. Okay. All righty. Any further questions or comments from the council regarding this action memorandum? Okay. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Those opposed say no. Okay. The yeses have it. And action memorandum number 17-059 has been adopted. The next item is new business, and I don't see anything there unless somebody has something they want to bring up.
Let's start calling them if that's
okay. Oh, okay. Records of items placed on the table.
We have nothing for a record of items placed on the table.
Why don't you, do you want to wait until we get into
so we can hear executive
session? Yeah. Okay. We now will open up agenda for audience participation again. Anyone that would like to come forth in the audience to address the council? Okay. One coming forth. I'll close audience participation. Yes, go ahead, Madam Clerk.
I want to state that Council Member David Fuller has joined us telephonically. He is on the phone, and it is 8:07 p.m. David, at this time, if you can mute your phone, and I
yes,
do want
ma'am.
To confirm that he is in private setting, that no one around him can hear the meeting going on.
Okay. And Councilman Fuller, we are in council member comments, and I'll go ahead and allow people here to make comments unless you are ready to make comments now.
No, ma'am. I'll stand by.
Okay. Thank you. Councilman Carrington, do you have comments?
Just one. I'm glad to see the fire department has gotten back to doing rescues instead of recues.
Okay, Councilman LaFrance.
No comment tonight.
Okay, Councilman Best.
Well, we've got the fair coming up, so I know that our PD is going to be seeing a lot more activity. I wish you all a safe fair season. I know that your guys' activities kind of pick up, so hopefully everybody gets out of this fair season perfectly safe and unfettered. There's going to be a lot of different traffic patterns out there. We got the road constructions going on. We've got the fair coming up. So just be safe out there.
Okay. Councilman Hansen.
I just have one comment. I just want to make sure that we have all of the necessary money to pave the bike, the continuation of the bike trail from where it ends behind the depot.
Shane Woods Trail?
Yeah, we have enough resources to get that done.
Go ahead, Nate.
Yes, Madam Mayor, we do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Deputy Mayor Combs.
Let's see. I got news today that the governor has reappointed Rachel Greenberg of the director of the local senior center and for Matsu Senior Services to the Commission on Aging, which is a real plus for the state of Alaska as well as Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Matsu Regional Medical Office building groundbreaking. Matsu Regional's expansion is potentially in three phases over the next months. The third floor that has been used for mainly conference rooms and stuff like that is open up and going to be under construction to add additional beds for medical and surgical, which is awesome because we're quite often very full, like most of the time. The medical office building 2, which I went to the groundbreaking for, is exactly what it sounds like. It's a medical office building right next door to the one that's there. This helps attract more specialties and more individuals with high qualifications are more than happy to come and live, work, and play right here in our borough, and they like Palmer the best, so that's always great. The certificate of need, today was the cutoff for any written support of that certificate of need for a behavioral health unit, but on August 31st at the UAA campus here in Palmer, there will be a certificate of need offering where you can go and speak to Juno telephonically in regards to that behavioral health unit being added onto the hospital. If you add all three of those things, I was telling the mayor earlier, if you add all three of those things and they all happen here within the next couple of years, that's an injection of between $81 and $90 million in our borough. High-paying, good, solid construction jobs. Then they have to fill them with technical people. There's already a lot of the staff that works out in those buildings that they're coming from Eagle River, Chugiak, etc., and they're looking to make the move here because they really like it here. So, and then at Chamber last week, the Gateway Visitor Center update, which is basically they've done phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3, but they're stalled right now because there is absolutely no funding available for phase 4, which is the construction of the new visitor center. They're looking to finish a 501c application, and then, but the funding right now is at a standstill. They need an additional $7 million to actually build that structure. So that's down the road. Literally and figuratively. So, of course, I'll be at the State Fair Parade on the grandstand because it's a great way to look at all the people. I wanted to add, I know that the council has read my mother's thank you card, but my own, my husband's and my own very heartfelt thank you for all of the expressions of condolences in the past few weeks in regards to the recent passing of my sister-in-law, Valerie Saunders, and my father, John Ectronaut. I cannot even begin to tell you how much the calls, the cards, the flowers, the comments, the attendance at various things has been so much appreciated. I truly feel like the city of Palmer, and particularly the folks that I've been privileged to work with right here, our family, and nothing beats that feeling in the world. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Councilman Fuller, has anything come to mind that you would like to comment on? I guess not. Okay. Can the next item on the agenda is executive session. Can I have a motion from the council?
Your Honor, I'd like to move executive session for subjects that tend to prevent prejudice, the reputation, character of any
City manager evaluation.
Been moved by Councilman Hansen and seconded by Councilman Carrington that we move into executive session, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, the city manager evaluation. Discussion by the council. All of those in favor say yes.
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 Oh, yes.
Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Yes.
Councilmember Brad Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember David Fuller.
Yes.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard Best. Deputy Mayor Linda Combs.
Yes.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Yes.
Everyone has voted unanimously for going into executive session.
Okay. We'll stand at ease while the council chambers are cleared.